Friday, January 22nd, State of the Union Day. President spent most of the day in the EOB working on the speech, although he did decide at midday he could handle some appointments for a while and came over to the Oval Office to do that. Kind of a surprise for this sort of a period. The big flap in the morning arose when he read the morning papers and called to say what in the name of good God hell is going on, because the Times and Post had both leaked all the details of the reorganization plan, which was the one really well-kept secret. The president's reaction was to decide we wouldn't give the speech, the text of the speech to the press prior to delivery, and we went through the cycle of trying to break that down for most of the rest of the morning. He, of course, backed off of it and agreed to get it out, let it out, but was very concerned about tracking down the source of the leak. He also made the point that he had come to the tough conclusion that it's not worth telling people anymore what we're doing, especially the cabinet and so on, that from now on we should just wait till the day of the event so that we don't run the risk of the leaks of this sort. He called several times during the day regarding television plans for the State of the Union, and he had decided not to use makeup, etc., but backed off under Carruthers' strong recommendation that he has to use makeup because the lighting there makes it even more necessary than under normal circumstances. Then he got up to the house and discovered Carruthers had picked narrow ties and a blue shirt. He felt he should wear a white shirt and wide ties. Again, he backed off and wore both the ties and shirt that Carruthers wanted him to. Net result was an excellent picture on TV. Reaction to the speech afterward was extremely good. Our advance buildup of its enormous importance and historic significance worked extremely well, and everybody played off of that, some saying it wasn't as historic as we'd said it was going to be, but nobody denying that it was a sweeping proposal. The president was somewhat concerned because Julian David said the picture quality wasn't good, and Tricia told him that it would have been better delivered at noon because it was not a nighttime speech. It would read better than it looked on TV. None of this did much good in bolstering him up, but the overall reaction has been outstanding. He did have the feeling that the congressional reaction wasn't enthusiastic enough, and he's basically right. He feels that the problem is that our people just weren't sophisticated enough to see the importance of the speech, and he once got going really on cranking the need for continuing buildup, which of course we're very well set up for. We got into plans for the Russell funeral, which will now be on Sunday. The president's decided to go down tomorrow and pay his respects while he's lying in state at the Capitol, rather than trying to go to the funeral service. An excellent decision. He'll go alone and make it just a personal tribute kind of deal instead of getting involved with everyone else. He decided to take Bryce Harlow along with him, which is also a good touch. The other big problem of the day was Senator Cooper and others in the Congress who are starting to criticize the Cambodian buildup, and the president wanted me to have Rogers get to Cooper right away and convince him that this whole thing does not involve ground troops or advisors or anything of that sort, and that it was only being done because it was necessary to interdict the enormous buildup of the sanctuaries. He felt Bill should warn Cooper that he's on a bad wicket and should not push it too far. It turned out that when I called Rogers, he had already done exactly this with Cooper, and he was delighted to have caught us ahead of time. All in all, a good day, and the president was outstanding tonight. End of January 22nd.